signs of the time are on cardboard on corners in town. There's a cancer called crime in our cities and an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Put an end to the gangs and the drugs and the streets and the back.
Continue to sell us on down the river. No, folks, that's not happening here. We're trying to refound this constitutional republic, not turn it into a third world nation. We just had CAFTA passed by our treasonous one, Mr. Bush, in the White House. He's actually nobody's friend, and a lot of people are finding that out. He's pushing very, very hard for free trade area of Americas, that we all become one homogeneous slop pot. Well, the Europeans and the European Union is finding out about this, and they're rejecting it outright. So are the people in Central and South America. They don't want to be part of a free trade of America group that becomes IMF stooges, okay? We understand the game. We understand the greedy corporations. We understand all of that. The issue here today is 30 million illegal people in this country, the majority of them being Mexican, Nicaraguans, Guatemalans, Mexico. We got illegal Russians here. Spetsnaz running around on the streets. We've got illegal Chinese in this country. We have a porous border, supposedly, in one of the most perilous terrorist-ridden times of our country. And it has got to be stopped. I don't want to entertain ideas of giving visas, work visas, or whatever. And if you're a good boy, you get to stay in this country. You broke the law. I can no more go into another country, go into Canada. If you go across into Canada, ladies and gentlemen, my wife and I did that. She had never been to Canada, and I wanted to take her across the border to a restaurant. At least she could say she was in another country. When we got to that border, they pulled us out of the vehicle, searched it, did a background search, checked our ID and everything else. The Canadians aren't letting any illegals into their country, but we've got a problem here. We've got 30 million illegals in this country right now, and they're all felons. They have broken the law. That is what is at issue here, and we can get off into the finer points of the minutia about going after illegal corporations, hiring illegals, and all of that. But the problem is still at the root of this is the illegal immigrants into this country in the first place. That's the bottom line. Let's go back to the telephones. Let's go to Jeff in Massachusetts. Hello, Jeff.
Yes. Oscar, how you doing? Hi. Now, Oscar, here's my simple question, which is, a nation is based upon borders, language, and culture. If I decide to go down to Mexico illegally, and then I demand that the ballots be in English and everything be written in English, and then I get sick and go to your hospital and use your hospital facilities but don't have the money to pay for that hospital, that is a form of disrespect to your culture. It's like me spitting on your shoes. Now, that's what's happening when people jump the border to this country, demanding that things be converted into their language. And you see, a nation cannot be divided into many languages, whether it's Spanish, French, Creole, Arabic, whatever. That's what I'm saying. That's the nature of nations. That's the nation state in essence. What's your take on that?
Well, I agree. I mean, everybody in this country needs to learn English. I mean, that's the language of business, the language of politics, and we should strive to make sure that everybody learns English. Now, what we might disagree is I believe that people should also maintain their culture, so that they're proud of their roots and they're proud of where they come from. But
why?
They should also be proud of being an American.
And why? And answer that question, why, to that statement right after this break. My guest today is Jared Taylor. He is the editor of the American Renaissance. The website is, what is that website, Jared? All right, we'll get the website from him. Also online with us is Oscar De La Torre out of California. We're discussing immigration. We'll be right back.
Are you one of the millions who have trouble waking up every morning? Hit the snooze a few too many times? Need that morning cup of coffee to get you started? Why not put a little spice in your morning with Gano Cafe? Gano Cafe, a healthy coffee, gives you energy and vigor, increases your focus and mental clarity. Gano Cafe helps the body heal itself, strengthen the immune system, and waste elimination for detoxification. If you're a coffee drinker, you won't believe the wonderful taste of this great coffee. Ganoderma, commonly known as the reishi mushroom, has been utilized in Chinese medicine for over 2,000 years. Also known as the longevity herb, miraculous king of herbs, it's more powerful than ginseng and has much lower caffeine and acid. To get your cup of great tasting coffee, go to healthycoffeeonline.com or call 1-888-841-6055. That's 1-888-841-6055.
Can you grow your own nutrition on a shelf indoors in 10 days? Wheatgrass juice is live superfood, the richest nutritional liquid known to man, packed with amino acids, living enzymes, and over 100 elements. 2 ounces of juice have the same nutrition as 3 pounds of choice garden produce. Call 1-877-699-4328. That's 1-877-MY-WHEAT. The stamina, healing, blood building, weight control, and cleansing are just the beginnings of what you will reap from pennies worth of grain. For the book, seed, and the beautiful stainless steel hand crank wheatgrass juicer for $150 plus shipping. No monthly pills, no monthly bills. This is real self-sufficiency. Go to AustinWheatgrass.com or call toll-free 1-877-MY-WHEAT. That's 1-877-699-4328. And thank you for your support of our labors and of the RBN network.
You bathe, right? And those dishes and laundry, you wash them, right? If you don't worry. Otherwise, you might want to listen. Your family is exposed to harsh chemicals daily. Chlorides, ethanols, sulfates. They're used in paint thinner, solvents, fuel additives. You'll find those chemical cocktails and more in everyday detergents and shampoo. Does that bother you? It bothers the folks at Calben Pure Soaps. For 58 years, they've produced all-natural, earth-friendly soaps and household cleaners. No animal testing, no chemicals, no dye, no antibacterials. Just safe, natural plant extracts like extra virgin cocoa butter oils and vegetable protein oils. I don't use anything but triple concentrated Calben Pure Soaps. What are you waiting for? Call them 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog. Nothing to lose but the chemicals. 1-800-340-7091 or visit CalbenPureSoap.com.
Get ready for Real Talk Radio. You're listening to the National Intel Report with your host, John Stadtmiller.
We've got a lot of people trying to weigh in on this subject today. Our phone calls are spilling over to our network lines here. So, Jeff in Massachusetts, Oscar, if you respond to his statement, we'll move on and bring up more callers. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, you know, the thing I believe here, there's a couple of things that, you know, we try to equate immigration and the increase of people coming from the South as a threat to this country. Some people even, you know, equate it to terrorism, which is not true. I mean, let's not forget that before 9/11, the biggest act of terrorism against Americans, okay, was Timothy McVeigh. There were American people that killed Americans. I mean, so let's be honest and let's be fair about that. We've never heard of any Mexican or illegal alien blowing up anything in this country or hurting anybody in this country in any large fashion.
Then why that is a true report. I did catch it on Lou Dobbs' program that 90% of the murder warrants in L.A. County right now are for illegals, and the majority of them are Mexicans. So don't tell me nobody's hurting anybody.
Well, you know, but most of the people that they're hurting are Mexicans themselves. I mean,
does that make it okay?
I'm not saying it's okay, but let's just be very clear that Mexican people or illegal aliens are not going out hunting or killing white Americans. The largest act of terrorism against white Americans before 9/11 was by a white American, Timothy McVeigh. Let's just not forget that.
Look, you know, there's another question about this. Mr. De La Torre, I recall that in the past you've been very active in trying to militate for racial preferences, affirmative action for Hispanics. I'd like to know how you justify racial preferences for Mexicans who've just arrived in this country. Why should they get preferences over native-born whites?
Well, here's the thing.
Or native-born anybody.
Yeah, native-born anybody. Let me say this. I don't believe that...
Well, because it's whites who are the victims of affirmative action. It wouldn't be native-born blacks.
No, whites are the number one beneficiaries of affirmative action.
Now, come on. How come... Tell me why Mexicans should merit racial preferences when they've just shown up in this country.
I don't think that that's even legal. Anybody who is an anybody who's undocumented cannot enter a university and get federal financial aid. Now, if you don't have affirmative action, what you end up with is a racial preference program.
No. What if you're here legally? What if you're here legally? You just showed up today. You're a Mexican. Why should you get racial preferences in a Texas university?
Well, we don't have racial preferences anymore.
Sure. You used to, and you want them.
All
you
that was eliminated. Let me think. Let me tell you what I believe in. I believe that it should be class-based, meaning that Oprah Winfrey's children should not get preferences over white, lower-income people. I think lower-income people, regardless of race, black, poor people, white poor people, Latino poor people, there should be affirmative action programs to help out the poor in this country, and race should be one factor, but it shouldn't
factor?
Be the factor. It should be a considered factor, but it shouldn't be the factor. Let's be very clear about that.
While it was still possible, before the Hopgood decision, you were all in favor of race-based affirmative action, weren't you, for Hispanics as well as blacks?
Well,
I mean, don't deny your record. You were in favor of it.
What I'm in favor of, okay, is making sure that groups that have historically been discriminated against by public institutions should have preferences in the application process, so that we can have more diversity in our public education system, so more people can get good paying jobs, and we can pay for Social Security and all the things that all Americans of all different races benefit from.
All right. We got to move on here. Rodney, thanks for your call, Jeff in Massachusetts. I appreciate your points. Rodney in Texas. Hello, Rodney.
Hey, how you doing?
Hi.
Yeah, I don't know if this has been mentioned or not, but while we're sitting here talking about protecting our country, our borders, and our culture, our country is about ready to go over and nuke Iran. We know that they've already went over there and bombed the crap out of Iraq and Afghanistan. You know, don't you think that there's a double standard here?
Oh, definitely. I mean, there's a definite double standard because America's foreign policy is creating more terrorism. We are now, because of these illegal wars against the Iraqi people, we are now, as Americans, in greater threat of terrorist acts. And this is the result of George Bush and some of the people in office that are taking our country down the wrong path.
Yeah, now let me just add to that. By the way, John, are you the moderator of this
topic,
or are you siding with Mr. Taylor on this?
I am not siding with either. I cannot. Let me tell you something. As a moderator, I can't side with either side.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Well, I'm just hoping that people understand that, you know, there are individuals out here who want to have it both ways. You want to keep the United States safe, but yet there's a double standard here, I see. You know, if you don't want people to invade your country or our country, then we shouldn't be doing it to other people. Do you agree with that, Mr. Taylor?
Yes, I do. I think the war in Iraq is a big mistake.
I think the one that's coming up in Iran is a big mistake. And really, if you want to really point the finger and you want to get down to the nitty-gritty and the bottom of the barrel, and I don't side with either you, Mr. Taylor, or what is your name, sir?
Dilatory.
Mr. Dilatory.
But I think that this is a bigger issue here, and I think that while we're all sitting here groveling over, and it is an important matter, groveling over the border here, the bigger picture is we're all being used. We're being used to cut each other's throats here while the globalists are over there doing essentially the same thing that we're condemning the Hispanics for. So that's all I wanted to add, and I'll hang up and listen to the rest of the discussion. Thank you.
I appreciate it, Rodney. Yeah, Oscar, I mean, you got a good point there. And Jared, same with you. The only way that there is going to be a complete understanding about this is when we understand what is at stake here. And Mr. Taylor is taking a position that the white race is being threatened in this country. And my response to that is, if we had sane immigration policy, the white race would not be threatened here. And I don't create people. I am not God. I don't make black people. I don't make brown people. I don't make any people. Okay? And to discriminate against people because of their skin color, I think, is blatantly wrong. And this is the tool that the ne'er-do-wells around the planet like to use, the racist issue. I don't fall for that trap. But I also, Mr. Taylor, don't believe that if we have sane immigration policies that the white race is necessarily in jeopardy in this country. What we are in jeopardy of is people in the 10-square-mile area in Washington, D.C., or I'm sorry, the 11-mile square area in Washington, D.C., that has sold everybody down the river. And just like the Mexican government has sold its people down the river for how many decades? We share unique problems here, but my contention and my bone of contention is here that I cannot illegally go to England or Germany or France or even Mexico and show up and say that I'm here, I must be protected, you've got to give me a driver's license, you know, I'm going to add to your economy, or whatever the excuse is. It is blatantly wrong. But there is a bigger agenda behind this. And let me finish this, and then we'll go back to the phones. There is a bigger agenda behind this. It is to split America apart. We had people like the great Islam leader here in this country, Louis Farrakhan, that wanted his own nation state inside this country with nothing but Islamic people in it, and they wanted reparations from the United States government. That got poo-pooed real fast, and Mr. Farrakhan got off that track. We haven't heard much from Mr. Farrakhan lately because people smelled out what his agenda is. But there is a bigger global agenda behind the balkanization of America, and that's to break up its culture. A people that are split are easily conquered. We do not want to see that here in this country. That is the bottom line. And let's go back to the phones, because they are loaded. Mike in Maryland, you're up next.
Hey, John, welcome back. I hope you're doing okay.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate it.
A great show today. Listen, talking about double standards, if I want to immigrate to Mexico, I heard I got to put up like a $10,000 to $20,000 bond. I got to make sure I got a job waiting for me. I got to have people there to sponsor me.
Sure.
It's totally different from that. And also, too, one person I quote in a short way more than anybody else, because as I found out, no matter how outrageous it sounds, at an initial first hearing, it always turns out to be true, because you can take it to the bank, and that's Alex Jones. I've heard on the show several times that there's 8 towns in southern Texas where the Mexicans, illegals, have taken it over and have run the Americans, most of them, out of town. They fly the Mexican flag. They only speak Spanish. And basically, they just invaded and taken over. And plus the fact that he said that the legislature in Mexico was made up mostly of foreigners. And like Vicente Fox, that's an Anglo-Saxon name. So basically, it's a country controlled by foreign interests and are using their Indian indigenous population to flood this country as an escape valve. So they won't have to be accountable to their own people.
Well, there are several reasons why Mexico encourages illegal immigration. One is because, as was pointed out earlier on the program, after oil revenue, remittances from people in the United States are the biggest source of foreign exchange. That's a big money earner.
What is that, $2 to $3 billion?
More than 13 billion.
Yeah,
yes, it's a huge sum. And besides that, it gets rid of people who wouldn't have jobs and who could be making trouble. And then finally, it establishes very much a kind of Mexican toehold in the United States. Right. It's no accident that when the Mexican national soccer team played the U.S. national soccer team in Los Angeles, all the Hispanics in the stand were rooting for the Mexican team. I think you'd find that if you have played that game anywhere in this country, people who are even American citizens, if their heritage is Mexican, they're going to be voting for the Mexican team. So there are these three things: revenue, getting rid of the unemployed, and establishing a greater Mexican presence in the world's most powerful country, so that if we ever had any kind of crisis vis-a-vis Mexico, it would be very, very difficult to take a stout, vigorous foreign policy against Mexico with so many loyal Mexicans in this country.
All right, Jared Taylor, hold on a second. We'll get a response from Oscar De La Torre. Mike in Maryland, just hang on a second. You make some good points. Dominic Trudy, Roger Wayne, and others. We'll get to all of your calls on this edition of the National Intel Report. I am your host, John Stadtmiller, and we'll be back in a couple of minutes. Stay tuned.
It's true. Gold and silver have been a source of true wealth for years. As an example, in 1975, you could buy a $40,000 home with 1,000 gold coins. Today, that same house is $400,000, yet you can still buy it with 1,000 gold coins. To find out more information on how to protect your wealth, call Republic Trading at 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898.
Introducing the world's best air purifier, the Aeronizer. The Aeronizer produces high levels of activated oxygen right from the air you're breathing. It works the way nature does. It's so powerful it kills molds and mildews as well as bacteria and viruses in the air and on the surfaces in your home. Made in the USA of the finest materials with an unconditional 2-year warranty. Call 877-605-9200 or visit the website at www.aeronair.us.
Americans already realize our nation is in deep trouble, need special edition hard copy literature to awaken the widest possible spectrum of people to the imminence of our nation's peril. The Artificially Sweetened Times informs people that the artificial sweetener aspartame is a hidden addiction killing people worldwide with a cluster of symptoms we now call Rumsfeld's disease. Find out who's responsible for unleashing this weapon of mass misery on the world and become part of the global movement to eliminate this neurotoxic drug from our food supply. The People's Income Tax Guide cites congressional records, Supreme Court decisions, and newspaper articles at the time to prove conclusively that wages were never intended to be taxed as income. A lot has happened in the world since 9/11. The report of the Citizens Commission on 9/11 disproves the government's explanation of September 11 through a careful analysis of the evidence. The Artificially Sweetened Times, the People's Income Tax Report, and the report of the Citizens Commission on 9/11 are priced for mass distribution. Sample copies are just $3. Call 208-255-2307 or go to idaho-observer.com.
Looking for a quality shortwave radio without spending hundreds of dollars? The Sanjin 505P shortwave radio is the answer. Featuring continuous tuning for all shortwave frequencies utilizing direct keypad tuning. Dual conversion improves shortwave image for better shortwave reception. Single sideband allows for reception of upper and lower sideband signals. Other features include 45 station memory, auto preset system, auto memory scan, tone controls, dual time display, and adjustable sleep timers. Included accessories, the AMT60 portable shortwave antenna, AC adapter, stereo earbuds, and a soft-sided carrying case. Also a 1-year full factory warranty on parts and labor. All this for only $139. Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200. Call today.
All right, folks, we're back. Oscar, do you want to respond to Mike's position?
Yeah, you know, well, a point that hasn't been stated is that we all have a common enemy, whether we're Mexican or whether we're American. And Americans get hurt by this. Corporations are leaving south and crossing the southern border is taking away more jobs than illegal immigrants coming and taking
yeah,
jobs.
Yeah, we lost Oscar. The figures are we lost 3 million to Mexico when we did NAFTA, and the jury's still out because Bush just signed CAFTA today. But there's going to be more of that. But I disagree with those figures because if we have, as I stated, 30 million illegals in this country and they want to work, they're going to be taking somebody's job. Okay, so 3 million, 10 times that amount. Pardon?
The responsibility is on the employer. There has to be some type of
responsibility is our government. First off, I'm not putting it on the employer because he is being forced to do what some other greedy people have done in order to meet his bottom line and make a profit in his business. He's got to go out and hire the same illegals the other guy down the street is doing. That's not the solution. Nor am I going to totally hang this on American businesses. I think it is wrong. I think it's ethically and morally and legally wrong. I agree with that. But that's not the problem. The problem is we still have the 30 million illegals in the country in the first place.
Well, the question is, why are they coming over here?
I mean, well, that's the question I asked you before.
Well, look. Now, that's not a difficult question to answer. Why are people from the third world pouring into Europe? Why are they pouring into Canada? Why are they pouring into Australia and New Zealand? It's because wherever you find them, European-derived people have built the most successful and satisfying, pleasant societies in the world. People from failed societies, people that can't, where the telephones don't work, where the cops are corrupt, where the government is a dictatorship, they naturally want to go where, let's face it, white people have made successful societies. I don't blame those people for wanting to go. If I were living in Guatemala or Haiti, I'd want to come to the United States too. The point is that Europe, Australia, Canada, the United States, if they wish to remain first world countries, they're going to have to remain with the people that founded those countries and not let in every wandering tribe from every failed society that came. There's a very simple reason why they want to come. They've come from failed societies.
And where is the United States government helping Haiti or Dominican Republic or anybody else? Where is the United States in helping them to have an honest government? We call them now democracies. Our little foray into the Middle East right now on behest of Israel is making the Islamic nations and the Islamic people, which are in the billions, over a billion people, I guess, they're very, very angry. And I do agree with Oscar that the more that this goes on in this country, the more we invite terrorism. But the problem is with the foreign policy. It's failed in Iraq. It's going to fail in Iran. It's failed in Afghanistan. It has failed as far as the Palestinians are concerned, because we sat back to Israel while they sat around and butchered the Palestinians and took their land. Nobody is in favor of that here either. But the point is that the United States government has never done anything really constructive to help the people in these respective third world backwater nations to do anything and to anything of any good whatsoever. And Jared, I agree with you that where people go with money, well-connected people, you have society, you have infrastructure, you have business, you have jobs, you have people that have food on the table. But here in this country, we've gone a step beyond that. We call it a constitution, and everybody wants to throw directly out the window. And that is the one thing that made this country different and better than any other nation on the face of this earth in recorded history. There's the difference.
We'll see. But let me make one correction here. Mr. Taylor said that wherever white Europeans have gone, they've built great civilizations. And you know, and arguably that could that someone can argue that case.
Yeah, now they've also done most of the raping and pillaging. I don't have to tell you what happened down in Mexico. I don't have to tell you what happened to the Incas.
I'm glad that you said that. And I also let's not forget that this country, at the same time that democracy a seed was planted for democracy, there was also a seed of slavery planted. And Africans, black people, built a lot in the first phase of the development of this country, contributed a lot. Let's not mention the Native Americans.
Oscar, I was thinking about this during the break. Sorry to interrupt you here, but I was thinking about this during the break. We've had blacks in this country for some 300 years, but it still only represents 12.5% of the population.
Yeah.
Right now, there's 30 million illegals in this country. They're here, and they're setting up shop, and they're setting up their own culture and their own way of doing business. They've got their own entertainment outlets. They have their own radio stations. This is not an assimilation into America, that's for sure. You're setting up shop here with your own culture, and Americans reject that outright.
See, the aspect of this that is particularly irritating to Native Americans is that people who advocate that kind of dual culture, let's guard our heritage, let's speak our own language, they would never recommend that for their countries back home. If people were doing the same kinds of things in Mexico, as one of the callers pointed out, I'm sure Mr. De La Torre would be extremely opposed to it. They say diversity is great when they're the source of diversity, whereas in their own homogeneous countries, or close to homogeneous countries, they would never stand to that kind of linguistic or national or cultural kind of divisiveness.
And I'll say this again. Mexico needs an honest government. The Mexican people need an honest shake, because it is my belief that it is so oppressive down there, and they're being oppressed by their own government, their own greed, their own corporate elite down there, if you will. And that's one of the major reasons they're coming over here to the United States.
Imagine the power if low-income and middle-income Americans and Mexicans were organized together to fight corruption in government. Imagine if the people at the bottom rose up and we had a system that really provided better schools, better health care, better job opportunities for all.
Well,
that's really the goal that we should strive for.
I'll tell you what. We've got a lot of Americans here that would send the 30 million illegals back over the border to take over that country for themselves once again. If you want some real help and you want some money here for the betterment of Mexico, I don't think you have too far to go. We'll take the break. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Real Talk Radio, only on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Pain medication can't heal the cause of your pain. But what if the pain is so great as to make it unbearable without it? Listen to the results of one 44-year-old man.
My name is John Frey. I have fibromyalgia and was taking 12 to 14 Ultram tablets a day just to try to stay pain-free. I also had headaches, which would incapacitate me. I also had severe allergies and was dealing with arthritis, which set in after two compression fractures. After just 3 weeks on Cocoon GH, I noticed my pain was gone, and I no longer needed to take the Ultram anymore. My headaches disappeared, and my allergies are virtually gone. My energy level has increased, and I feel better today than I have in 15 years. My graying hair has also started to darken, and a bald spot on my head has started to grow hair again. My wife got on Cocoon GH, and after only 8 days, a lower back pain that she had suffered with for 14 years has gone away permanently. She no longer takes Celebrex. Thanks for such a wonderful product.
Satisfaction guaranteed. Call 888-988-6833. That's 888-988-6833.
Can you grow your own nutrition on a shelf indoors in 10 days? Wheatgrass juice is live superfood, the richest nutritional liquid known to man, packed with amino acids, living enzymes, and over 100 elements. 2 ounces of juice have the same nutrition as 3 pounds of choice garden produce. Call 1-877-699-4328. That's 1-877-MY-WHEAT. The stamina, healing, blood building, weight control, and cleansing are just the beginnings of what you will reap from pennies worth of grain. For the book, seed, and the beautiful stainless steel hand crank wheatgrass juicer for $150 plus shipping. No monthly pills, no monthly bills. This is real self-sufficiency. Go to AustinWheatgrass.com or call toll-free 1-877-MY-WHEAT. That's 1-877-699-4328. And thank you for your support of our labors and of the RBN network.
There is one and only one national populist news weekly, staffed by an unsurpassed team of veteran investigative journalists who have dared to rip the veil of deception from the cover-up stories promoted by the big money-controlled media monopoly.
American Free Press.
AFP's no-holds-barred journalists fearlessly seek the truth, no matter how controversial the issue. AFP publishes exciting, in-depth, uncensored news and information good patriotic Americans need to know to combat the coming police state being clamped in our republic. The American Free Press is your voice. Subscribe today and catch up on the real news. Mention RBN when you call and receive a one-year subscription, plus a copy of Michael Collins Piper's latest bestseller, The High Priests of War. All that for just $49. Call AFP toll-free, 888-699-NEWS, or visit AmericanFreePress.net.
Tuned in to the National Intel Report, the Real Talk Radio Show.
The website for American Renaissance is amren.com. And Mr. De La Torre, do you have a website?
Yeah, you can go to www.picoyouth, that's PICOYOUTH.org.
All right, let's go back to the phones here. And I appreciate both of you gentlemen. As I said, this is the first time in 13 years that I've ever moderated a program. I've never done this before. I've interviewed many guests, but I've never done people with opposing viewpoints. And this is going rather well, and I appreciate the callers out there because it's all been sound and reasoned and logical. We have taken the emotional hot-button issues out of this, and we're actually having a discussion about this. I'm enjoying this. Trudy in Wisconsin. Hello, Trudy.
Thank you for taking me. I've listened to some good points. One point that I'd like to introduce here a little bit more seriously, whatever happened to e pluribus unum, meaning one for all and all for one. When I watch television in the morning with my granddaughter, Sesame Street on public education is in strict Spanish. The seed was planted. It frightens me. She can't understand it. What the message is that it's in Spanish. I don't understand it. She doesn't understand it. There's a division cause. You are always afraid of things you don't understand. When my parents came over from Germany, they had to take a citizenship test.
Right.
They had to learn English. That's all being forgotten now. And it sounds like it's not a big thing, but I do believe that ultimately the Alamo will be revisited with these small little increments of being introduced, indoctrinated, and the seeds are planted of Spanish-speaking people who don't care to, who are not needed to speak English. That division has already started. It will only generate and snowball greater to where, again, like I say.
And if you look at this, Trudy, if you look at this situation in many countries around the world, you keep hearing the term ethnic cleansing, yes, where you have other cultures of people invading, basically, other countries. And the culture, the people that are in these respective countries, they see a threat, a direct threat to their culture, and they, yes, don't like it. I don't want to see, and I'll be honest here, I don't want to see anything like that happen to anybody, Mexican or otherwise, in this country. But we're dealing with a problem here, and it's a problem that the United States government has not addressed. Private citizens, and it was almost a joke last week. The government actually was entertaining the idea of putting feds on the border and have American volunteers underneath the feds. And this is in response to the Minutemen that have been on the border. And by and large, the people that have been there, and I've warned people, this operation is going to resume here in October. And I've been telling people, watch your ranks and keep the people out of these ranks that are going to come in and try to do harm to this. But I'm in favor of this, and I'm backing the Minutemen on this problem. It is the responsibility of our government, but they have sold us repeatedly down the river. But yep, now we see a threat, and I agree with you, Trudy. A lot of people are uncomfortable because they perceive it as being a cultural threat.
Yes, exactly. And you fear that what you don't know, you can't communicate. In the grocery store, I'm in Wisconsin, and there are some Spanish-speaking people working in some of the chicken processing plants up here.
Mm-hmm.
And when you meet them in the store, they can't speak your language. They speak a fluent Spanish amongst themselves.
Right.
It's such a division, such a separation.
It's uncomfortable, to say the least.
Very uncomfortable, yeah, and it can and will. I would say that it eventually will cause a huge division in this country if we don't ask them to go to school, have volunteers to tutor them. I'm not a racist, nor am I prejudiced, but this will ultimately come. Maybe I won't see it directly, but my grandchildren, this will escalate. That you might as well throw E pluribus unum out the door, as long as you've got two different Spanish-speaking and English-speaking radio stations and television programs. It's going to be greater
than
they see it now.
Trudy, the most of Americans, and forget the rigged polls. Most Americans, you've been hearing what they've been saying. Over the last 3 years, there have been many, many programs that have dealt with this exact subject. And by and large, the Americans have made their position clear. But again, we have our government here that is not responsive to its people and its wishes. And we do not want to see this escalate to violence. But I'm sitting here trying to figure out, how do we deport? And do you think this is going to be a load on Mexico? You bet it is. How do we deport 30 million illegals back to Mexico?
Yes. Our country is going to become Mexico before long, because we're so polluted and diluted and washed under that we're going to become just what they ran away from.
Good point. Thank you, Trudy. I appreciate you calling. Oscar, you were going to say?
Yeah, there's a lot of fear. Let me tell you this. In California, we are now in what they call a majority-minority state, meaning that white Americans are the minority and Asians, Latinos.
And they're uncomfortable about it, too, by the way.
Majority. But let me say this.
Oscar?
Nothing. We are still the strongest state in the union. California is the most powerful state in the union.
You're
right
one of the
now.
Most debt-ridden also.
Yeah.
You're one of the most debt-ridden states in the union.
Yeah, but we're going to pull you know what? We are the leader in the country. California
Oscar,
is going to show
Oscar,
and lead by example.
Oscar, please. I mean, I honestly. Now, I'm not a bad guy. I don't think you have a sense that I'm any direct threat to you. But why? But why are we doing this? Why are you promoting keeping people that have already broken the law, trying to come into this country, setting up shop, becoming hyphenated Americans? Why are you not pushing for a change in the regime down in Mexico, for all of Mexico? And there's a reason, and we've stated that, there's a reason why these people are coming over the border here for opportunity for jobs that they don't have in Mexico. But why aren't we talking about what we can do for the Mexican people rather than what we can do for the Mexican people here in this country? This is insane.
Well, I think we need to do good, you know, by all people, and good policy, you know, focuses on
not on my nickel, bud, and it's costing
jobs.
Us a lot.
Well, the thing is you know, if you have a problem with people crossing the border illegally, the real problem is people giving them jobs over here. I mean, that's we've said that's
well,
stated
that. Well, yeah, and again, that's just a symptom of the disease, and
point,
I hate to put it that way, but go ahead, Jared.
The point for most activists, whether they're Hispanic activists, whether they're black activists, what they're interested in is what is good for their group. Blacks, you don't find somebody like Al Sharpton or Jesse Jackson really talking about what's good for America. They're interested in what's good for black people.
Right.
Hispanic activists, by and large, have the same view.
And
they're not
way,
interested in what's good for America.
Well,
they're interested in what's good for Hispanics.
Jared, let me correct that. These are political whores. I consider the Jesse Jackson and the Rainbow Coalition as being political whores. They're no more interested, really, in elevating the black people, because I had Terry Anderson on this program, and both of you gentlemen are familiar with Terry Anderson. He has his own program out of L.A. He is on this network on Sunday nights. The problem here is that we have too few jobs in this country. We have a government that's selling us out, that's really not for its own people anymore, and cannot help and protect anybody else in any other country, lend an extending hand. And Oscar, I'm serious about this. Why are you not talking about the injustices done to the Mexican people down in Mexico? Why are you not ranting and raving about the corrupt regimes that have been over and suppressing the Mexican people for all these years? And the reason and the reflection of that is, why are they running across the border to get jobs and to get amnesty in another country? I mean, let's get down to the brass tacks here, because a lot of people, and Trudy in Wisconsin echoed sentiments of a lot of Americans. Is this going to be bad enough? We're going to have to start ethnic cleansing here, start shooting people?
You know what? Let me tell you what, that's crazy. I mean,
Oscar, hold on a second. Yeah. You may think that's crazy because you may be on the receiving end of that bullet. You may think it's nuts because your security and your freedom or your liberty may be threatened. You're illegal. But you're speaking in behalf of illegals breaking laws coming into this country. And Americans, 99% of the American people are against this.
Yeah,
and they are falling out and volunteering. I don't think there's been any other time in this country's history where people have taken steps like this, gone against their own government and taken matters into their own hands and done a pretty good job doing it, I'll add. Doing what our government refuses to do.
And I would ask Mr. Delatorre, if he thinks that this is crazy and unthinkable, just imagine what would happen if some group were pouring into Mexico the way Mexicans are pouring into this country. You know very well that Mexicans would not stand for it at all. Radio broadcasts in foreign languages, people ballot papers in foreign languages, people insisting on being taught in their own language. Would Mexicans stand for that? No, they'd start shooting those people.
Absolutely. Faster down there than I'm sure they would here.
Yeah, they wouldn't sit still for it for a moment.
All right, gentlemen, in fairness here, we're going to skip the last break because we have a lot of callers online. There's a lot of people who want to voice their opinion on this. So let's go back to the phones. Roger in Pennsylvania. Hello, Roger.
Yeah, thanks, folks. Yeah, my last indictment here is the deadliest one, the most damning one, I should say, and this will go quick enough. My own father entered grade school some 7 years ago not speaking word one of English. It was all Pennsylvania Dutch, Pennsylvania German. Now, maybe I know 5 or 10 words of Pennsylvania Dutch, and while we still get together and try to outdo each other for the German potato salad recipes. The culture is about 99% dead otherwise. This is a very thick Pennsylvania German area. Your guest is not going to persuade me of how we're somehow culturally deprived that we haven't preserved our heritage. And I very much enjoyed one of the rare few times when Thomas Sowell shot back to Tommy Rose on the Tommy Rose Show. So, Charlie, what is the inherent virtue of diversity? And Charlie Rose was astute enough not to even attempt a thinly plausible comeback to that, explanation for that. Now, how is it that those 90-plus percent, I'm guessing San Diego or is just south of their residence, mostly all Hispanics, of course, rejected bilingual education by 80% because they had some 40, 50 years experience in having their children stuck in the economic backwater because they well knew that bilingual education is nothing of the sort. It's really unilingual, preferentially non-English education is what it always is, just as it is in the area here where we have so-called bilingual for Hispanics and others. And lastly, the one thing, if we have any compassion for the people of Mexico or would see any markets open up, the only thing could possibly address either of those fronts to provide markets for American products is if we export the one thing we have no interest in exporting, that is a hatred for corruption in governments and a hatred for the socialist system that goes hand in hand with it. Why do we have no interest in exporting the American Republican strictly limited governmental form, which is the only possibility to keep those downtrodden masses from trying to stream across their borders, because they'll then possibly be able to make a living back home?
Because that's something you have to work out for yourself. You can't export something like that. The United States is trying to export democracy right now in Iraq. It tried in Haiti. It doesn't work.
We're always trying to export democracy, but not a love of freedom, which means little government and zero socialism.
Exactly.
That can't be taught either.
Exactly. And this whole concept of exporting democracy is a ruse.
Yes.
The founding fathers in this country set up a constitutional republic because they recognized socialism and democracies as being an evil and self-destructive form of government. And I, Roger, I totally agree with you. And these supposed democracies is who controls the money and who deals with the people that control the money. Oh, that's right. They're the corporations. And in this country, and Oscar, you brought this point up, I think, last hour about the evil corporations in this country. I'm in agreement with you. At one time in this country, we had ways to stop people from getting too big and getting too greedy and starting to buy out everything on the planet. That has gone by the wayside. I think we can return to some form of sanity, but we better start speaking honestly with each other, and we better be forthright, because the governments of this planet have been corrupted and corrupted totally. They are not for the people. They are from themselves. So I don't know. That's my feeling. Roger, thank you for your call. I appreciate it.
Well, I agree with you, Mr. Stadtmiller. Our government in all sorts of ways is unresponsive to its people. In the past, it used to be a little bit more responsive.
We have absolutely no redress of government in this country anymore.
It's a sad state of affairs.
So why don't we stop focusing on the Mexicans as the problem and start focusing on where the real problem
because
is?
Because we don't want to be, Oscar, we'll say it again, we don't want to be a bilingual, bicultural, hyphenated country. Let me say this, because we're skipping the last break, we'll be able to take these calls. Look. As I stated before, blacks have been in this country for 300 years. It represents roughly 12.5% of the population. People like Jesse Jackson and the likes, if you wanted to assimilate into this culture, you were called an Uncle Tom. And then they took it to the extreme that we're to have racial pride, we're to have Kwanzaa, we're to have this, we're to have that. Rather than just being an American, flat out, no hyphenated, no African American, no Mexican American, no nothing American, you're just American, under the system, under the law, under the Constitution, end of story. That's when you have peace, that's when you have prosperity, that's when you have true happiness and true peace.
when you have the same rights, when all Americans of all different
Oscar,
racial backgrounds
I can't help the people
the
in Mexico because they don't have any rights.
No,
but I but
this.
I can
African,
say this.
Africans, okay, black Americans in this country do not have the same rights as white Americans. Let's be honest about that.
You know what? You're right. And it was due to the 14th Amendment. They are once again chattel slave to the government. You're absolutely right, Oscar. Wayne in Texas, you're up next. Hello, Wayne. Wayne, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Go
How
ahead.
You doing? Hey, just a couple things here. First up, I totally disagree with this argument that the illegals just come to work, because if that's the case, why are they costing us tens of billions of dollars for their medical care? They get housing assistance, food assistance. We're spending a lot of money on education. And I think it's more of a colonization process more than it is anything else. And along with that, the welfare fraud that many communities are, adhering to now. It's just totally unbelievable. But my main point is I'm a small businessman in Texas here, and I think I speak for a lot of small business guys in that I think there's a real double standard here that's leading this country into national suicide. By that I mean we have a lot of American businesses that employ Americans. They pay payroll taxes. But in the same communities, you have same companies letting go of Americans. They're hiring illegals, and they're breaking federal law. They're evading a lot of payroll taxes and breaking federal law. And they pay these new employees minimal wages because they know full well the taxpayers are going to bear the brunt of a lot of their living expenses for employees. And what I see is turning into is nothing more than a banana republic. And until the illegal immigration problem is stopped, this is going to continue to fester until we implode in this country.
Well said, Wayne.
Absolutely right. Absolutely right. I think one of the most outrageous things about this is the extent to which the Mexican government encourages illegal immigration. They print up these pamphlets explaining the best techniques for crossing the border, the best techniques for evading the border patrol. They also, one of the other things the Mexican government did, was establish dual citizenship for Mexicans in the United States. Many Mexicans hesitated to become U.S. citizens because they felt a loyalty to Mexico. Now they can maintain their Mexican citizenship and their Mexican loyalty. And the Mexican government urges them to become U.S. citizens so that they can vote in U.S. elections and influence American policy in ways that are favorable to Mexico, because the Mexican government knows full well that their loyalty still is with Mexico. So now they're happy for them to vote in our elections and change our policies.
Wayne, anything else?
Yeah, John, I'd say this too. You know, the other real unique thing about this, or something that really doesn't square either, is the fact that some of these apologists say, we need cheap labor, but do we see houses, going down in value? No, they keep increasing. Commodities we buy in stores are going through the roof. Tomatoes, everything else. Even though we have all the supposed cheap labor now.
Right. Everything keeps going up.
Exactly.
I understand. Thank you for your call. I appreciate it, Wayne. Steve in Rhode Island. Hello, Steve.
Hi.
All over the nation today. Go ahead.
Hey. A lot of mainstream conservatives claim that the heart of the matter is the legality or the illegality of the immigrants and whether they assimilate or not. I completely disagree. I say that the heart of the matter is the survival of the white race as a unique people. And what do I mean by that? Well, back in 1900, whites were something like, 30% of the world's population. I'm sure Mr. Taylor knows better than me. But since then, two things have happened. The white birth rate dropped, and the third world population exploded. So now in 2005, white people of European descent are something like 8 or 10% of the population, and they're having only 4% of the world's babies, and Pat Buchanan has talked about this.
Right.
Now, the problem is a lot of mainstream conservatives argue that they want the immigrants to speak English and to assimilate and be successful. Well, that's great, but historically, successful assimilation in America meant intermarriage. And the Irish and the Italians and the Germans all eventually intermarried and created what we now call the melting pot. But here's the thing. The Irish and the Italians and the Germans were all white. And when they had kids together, they had white kids. So today's immigrants are not white. They're Mexican and Haitian and Asians. I have nothing against that. But if they were to truly assimilate and intermarry among our people, then the result very possibly could be widespread miscegenation and the extinction of the white race as we know it. And
that is a possible eventual threat, but what I said before, 300 years of blacks living in this country and 12.5% of the population, but economically you're right. Well, the people in this country, we're not producing babies. You know, we're not out there overcoming, let's say. You know, like the mantra of the 60s blacks used to be, we shall overcome. You know, all we have to do is propagate, and we can breed the right white people out of their own country.
Right.
You know, I mean, this is wrong.
Yeah, but you know, that I think that you can't do anything about love. If people fall in love, if a white person falls in love with a black person and they have babies, that's a good thing as long as they're in love. I mean, why are we going to legislate people to not be in love and not fall in love? What's the fear of losing this so-called white race? Look.
Well, there's your point. Mr. De La Torre doesn't care if we go extinct. I think that says it all.
Do a survey of white people in this country and ask them, who has hurt you in the last week? What kind of conflict did you have? Did you have a conflict with a black person or a white person? And most white people are going to say white people. It isn't all black people that are doing bad things or all Mexicans that are doing bad things to white people. There's many white people that do countless white, you know, bad things to white people. Why do we get caught up in the racial analysis? When it comes down to, we should judge people on the content of their character, not on the color of their skin. That's
okay.
What
that's the way they do in Mexico.
All right,
Can I say one last word?
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, to the guests, I agree with you and to an extent, and I think that if people of two different colors fall in love with each other in a natural and organic way, that's just fine. But if you've seen any TV shows or TV commercials or Hollywood movies lately, you can see that this is exactly the direction that the New World Order is pushing us in. It's almost like they want us to merge into one race. And
there's one group of people, about 1.5% of this population, that doesn't tolerate that, and they have a great disdain for it, and that's the Jewish population. Steve, thanks for your call. One last caller here. Maybe we can get another one in. Jose Vera in Texas. Hello, Jose.
Hey, John.
Yes, sir.
Very quickly, you have a great show.
Thank you.
Going on. Oscar, you're talking about people falling in love and having children. I'm going to tell you and what I see here. Wade made a good point. In the United States, illegal immigrants father children irresponsibly here and in Mexico, and the taxpayers pay for that. An American fathers a child, and he pays child support or goes to prison or gets his check garnished. There's a huge difference of who's being responsible and who's paying the bill. That's my point of view on that. Love has nothing to do with being irresponsible and fathering children.
I agree with you. I think that anybody that fathers a child should pay and should support that child, and I totally agree with you on that.
All right. The other thing about the responsibility of it being the employer is partially. The thing is, our government's failed to protect our interest here, our economic interest. The problem is that we invaded the wrong country for oil. We should have helped overturn Mexico's government so that the people don't have to live in a totalitarian state under a dictatorship where they have to flee by the millions every year. And they're not coming here to work and take jobs that we don't want. We are being forced to work, mother and father, to barely be able to feed one household. And that's not by choice. I don't choose to work for $9 an hour. That job pays $25 an hour. But an illegal can come and take it for 10 and live with 25 people in an apartment. I don't choose to live in those conditions.
Understood.
Americans don't choose to live in those conditions.
Jose, we are flat out of time. Thank you for your
call. Thank you very much.
All righty. Folks, our guests today have been Oscar De La Torre. His website, www.picoyouth.com. And also, Jared Taylor, his website, www.amren.com. Oscar De La Torre, thank you very much for your time. Jared Taylor, thank you. We might have to do this again. It sure excited the audience. We had phone calls all over this network pouring out of the board and spilling over to the rest of our phone system. Gentlemen, thank you. I appreciate your time.
Thank you very much.
I hope we can dialogue and get to the root of this problem, and we can all live as unhyphenated Americans. That'll do it for this edition of the National Intel Report. We'll be back with you tomorrow. I have another scheduled guest tomorrow. I'm not going to tell you who it is. You're going to have to show up and find out. Thank you, folks, for participating in this, and thank you for your well-mannered thought, your logic. It speaks volumes, ladies and gentlemen. Keep it up. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow.
The Bill of
of Rights protects every American's God-given right to keep and bear arms. Now that right is being seriously undermined as legally registered rifles are being confiscated in some parts of our country. If we're not careful, we may find ourselves with no right to own guns. And that's where Gun Owners of America comes in. Gun Owners of America is in Washington every day fighting for you to keep that right. Congressman Ron Paul has called GOA the only no-compromise gun lobby in Washington. You need to be part of this great grassroots group of activists who are keeping the heat on their members of Congress. Find out right now how you can join. Call 888-886-GUNS and get started receiving their fact-filled newsletters and action alerts. Call 888-886-GUNS or go to their webpage at gunowners.org and help make your voice heard in Washington. Make that call right now and call Gun Owners of America at 888-886-GUNS. Remember, it's not just about gun control, it's about control.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.